Let us cultivate the altruistic motivation, seeking complete enlightenment for the sake of liberating infinite kind mother sentient beings. With that kind of bodhicitta motivation or altruistic motivation, that we should all participate in this teaching.
Anas, ta ngaran zu chamalo, te ta ten da tewa te ne, ran ta genji ten do sanji ji gomba toge te, ten ni nyegu yor bas.
In essence, what we all seeking is to accomplish complete enlightenment or Buddhahood for the sake of sentient beings as well as for our own sake.
Chasun.
No.
Ona. Ani ona re ta. Te ani sanji ji gompa thobe sheba la ya. Ani sa ta lam ta rembe ji ni ndus ni junior ani rogu go yaris.
In other words, what I'm saying here is that our ultimate spiritual goal is complete enlightenment, and we're seeking it for the benefit of all sentient beings, including ourselves. And in order to reach complete enlightened state, it is essential for us to progress on the spiritual paths and spiritual grounds leading to enlightenment.
Ona ta ngaran so mang chewa ta ani tanda ani sa ta lam lam ki sa ta lam ki ta langa ta lang le yo marwas.
At the moment, we have not yet entered into the spiritual paths and grounds leading to enlightenment.
No, no. Tanya salam se sata lam se yati jidin le trabi sata lam ti samtam jo maris ani ranju le sheju yon kiki ani sakyo ta lam ngas jasi chanju se bishoro ta sakyo si an lam ngas lo tenle kiki.
When we think of the paths and grounds, we must not think of them in a very ordinary sense of like the ordinary roads or the paths that we take to our ordinary destination. What we're really talking about here is this. As a matter of fact, the inner developments that we need to bring about in order to reach complete enlightened state. So that's why we talk about the complete structure of the path leading to enlightenment, and that involves cultivating in our own mind five spiritual paths, such as the path of accumulation, and the 10 spiritual grounds of bodhisattvas, such as the joyous ground. So these five paths and the 10 spiritual grounds constitute the complete structure of the path which we need to cultivate within our own mind stream, and we need to progress on these paths and grounds to reach complete enlightened state.
Tendri gani sata lam chi yun te ta jachimbu ranju li shibe shepa la ta ale ngundru te ngepa de ngundru dhoga ye ten ranzo ga lega shigwe chi sanu ngepa tangu res.
So it's important for us to keep that in our mind, the complete structure of the path and how that is connected to complete enlightenment, our ultimate spiritual goal. Having said that, it is important for us to, you know, prepare ourselves. In other words, the preparations or the preliminary practices that involve, you know, that are involved in order to enter into the paths and grounds.
Yes. That tambo the karu sena, kumbat tambo jee the karu sena ngaran zuta, ane.
So as we prepare ourselves to cultivate the paths and the grounds, the first step, so to speak, that we need to take is we need to seek refuge in Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, the three jewels.
As
for taking refuge in Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, you know, we use what we call expression, words of expression, such as Namo Guru Be, I go for refuge in the Guru, and Namo Buddhaya, Namo Dhammaya, Namo Sanghaya, all that in Sanskrit. Of course, it can be in any other language. But simply by, you know, repeating those words of expression or lines, we cannot say that we are really, truly taking
refuge in the three jewels.
So the point I'm trying to get across to you here is, as we use certain words of expression or certain lines of prayer, what is really more important is to deeply reflect upon the meaning of the words or the chanting or the prayers, so that we really cultivate trust or faith based upon understanding good reasons in the three jewels. So cultivating that kind of reasoned faith and trust in the three jewels through, you know, contemplating the meaning of the words we recite is very crucial.
So
in order to reflect upon the meaning of the you know, the chanting, refuge chanting or the prayers and words, and in order to cultivate you know, trust and faith in the three jewels, it is important for us to understand, at least to some extent, the preeminent qualities of the jewel of Buddha the jewel of Dharma and the jewel of Sangha.
Tā sāngjī jī yuñti tā, tā nūs pā nūs shēpi yuñ, sāngjī jī kuya yuñti, sūngu yuñti, tūngjī yuñti, sī nūs yuñti pā, sūm nūs sāng tāngu rēs.
As we consider the preeminent qualities of the three jewels, let's say the preeminent qualities of the jewel of Buddha, we need to consider the preeminent qualities of Buddha's enlightened body, enlightened speech, and enlightened mind.
Just as we as ordinary people
have body, speech, and mind, each of us has those three dimensions of life. So do the Buddhas and enlightened beings. They have body, speech, and mind. But what is really important for us is to compare our ordinary body, speech, and mind to that of the enlightened body, speech, and mind, and see what is the big difference there. Although they may be called by the same names or the labels or the terms, body, speech, and mind, but there is a great difference between our body, speech, and mind and the body, speech, and mind of an enlightened person.
That's how you come to the equation, you know. Ani tui chile kui kubwa shawa tha mambun dosi ne, senji rindu ne ya kui kubwa rindu si paten ne, an senji tenze nangyo, tenze sampangu resi.
In the case of a Buddha or complete enlightened being or a person, he or she can't emanate simultaneously billions of emanations and send them across the universe to benefit each and every sentient being. So that's a kind of enlightened body, ability and quality that Buddha has.
That inducing, you know, since I'm a son of the Jesus, that really kept a gem at all. But inducing, son of the Dini Tambu, you know, and it's since I'm a son of the Zani, Pages of the Jesus, and so any good inducing the Tedioris.
And in a general sense, of course, we don't have time to go, and speak about each and every one of these qualities of a Buddha's body. A Buddha's body is characterized by, for lack of better words in English, 32 major marks of realization and 80 minor marks of realization. So in other words, an enlightened body, Buddha's body is characterized by 32 major marks and 80 minor marks of realizations.
Oh, that too shit. And that the one you say is song that song you and that you and this name do. And that song you and that sanji mashapares. Kari is na sanji chomde de namchis. Sanji tame tane de bate nunto de ne is lam ko sin
And when we think of the preeminent qualities of Buddha's speech, that's inconceivable to our mind. Buddha's speech could and has established countless sentient beings on spiritual paths and in the states of definite goodness, which involves good rebirths as well as nirvana or state of liberation and enlightenment.
That the imbati ane sanji rang chundi the rang dol sundu was chuni demba tembe torin jus.
And as a matter of fact, it is through speech that Buddhas benefit perhaps the most sentient beings, help them to be liberated from the state of suffering and find enlightened state. As Geshe-la quoted the lines from his memory, as Buddha himself stated, and he said that I show or reveal the truth of the nature of realities or the truth, kunyi, the nature of truths or realities, and it is through that which Buddha does through speech or teachings that I help sentient beings to be liberated.
No, tagana yike ani ta jirumbu chike ani dusga nang dowa ani khong ani sanje gin jaba gana ta jaba gana ani ani sung jaba de shol jaba ins kana ya
Jirumbuche, in his praise to Shakyamuni Buddha, he said that of all the activities of the deeds of the Buddha, that of his speech activity is the most important and the most beneficial, of all his deeds.
No, no. That song ke yuanti den do san da. Ta tu chi yuanti san dang zhen ta. Sanje kyamdeen dike, ane tuji yuante ta kandik yuwarase na, ane heja tangi tu sumje, ne mawa tata tu sumje heja tangi, ane tu ki la pe ziga ta chenbe yuante tani ki yuwarase, chenbe nubak tani ki yuwarase.
So as we reflect on the preeminent qualities of Buddha, we need to consider qualities of Buddha's enlightened body, speech, and mind, and I'm just giving you very brief and few examples of each. Moving on to the enlightened quality, the quality of enlightened mind. Buddha's mind is an omniscient mind. That is to say that Buddha's mind can simultaneously, that is all at the same time, non-conceptually or directly perceive all phenomena that exist in the past, present, and future. So that is the tremendous, the wisdom mind that Buddha has.
Songchang, that Sanje Kamdi, Dujia La Chue Ten Nang Di Chani, Dujia Kham Ta Samba La Ten Nang Guya Res.
Now, the way in which Buddha, teach sentient beings is, they take into account predisposition, the mental dispositions, as well as the capacities of people and sentient beings into account, and then they teach them accordingly to suit their mental dispositions and abilities.
Tende song tanta, shubun jeti ke tong song gaya tata, duje kham da sambala tuyene ta tong sun sumba res.
It's because of that very reason Buddha gave as many as 84,000 forms of discourse, and because taking into account the mental dispositions and abilities of people and beings.
Tangi gitu ta gemba chongda hako nge peji kegi nista nge kundu mangbo teyer sina sawa chol nge peji kegi na bena tiri doctor ke tini ta mi mandra mangbo kyoji duwas.
I think that my old students already know about this, but more for the sake of new students here, I would like to give an example to illustrate the point I just made. An example is, a doctor, in order to treat patients, has to take into account the nature of sicknesses and other situational factors, and then prescribe medicines you know, accordingly. So we know that there are hundreds of different kinds of medicines. Why? Why do we need too many medicines like that? Because there are too many different kinds of sicknesses and situational factors. So therefore, different situations and different you know, sicknesses need different kinds of treatment. So that's exactly the same. Buddha has given so many teachings or discourses in order to suit the predispositions and abilities of different people. Just as Buddha's you know, qualities of Buddha's enlightened body and speech are inconceivable, the qualities of enlightened mind are just inconceivable too. So when we think in terms of the three jewels or three ratnas, Kunchoksum in Tibetan, Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha, the real object of refuge is Dharma. And if you wonder why there are three jewels and what functions do they serve, well, the jewel of Buddha, you know, is like, you know, is the agent, is our teacher, just like a spiritual guide. And the jewel of Dharma is like the actual treatment. It is the actual object of refuge for us. And the jewel of Sangha, or spiritual community, are the assistants or the helpers, you know, for us on our spiritual path. So why is Dharma considered the actual object of refuge, if you wonder? Now the reason behind that is, when we ourselves cultivate Dharma, spirituality within our own mind, when we ourselves experience Dharma in the mind and progress spiritually within, then that Dharma enables us, you know, counteracts all kinds of defilements and liberates us from the state of suffering, and we find nirvana and we find enlightenment. So it is in that sense, Dharma is the actual refuge. So when we kind of unpack the jewel of Dharma, we find two dimensions here. There is what we call the symbolic Dharma, Dattaba. It's the symbolic, it's the expression. And then there is the what we call the ultimate, you know, Dharma. Now, of these two dimensions of Dharma, one is the symbolic expression, and the other is the ultimate meaning or the concept of the Dharma. Which one is the real Dharma, if you ask? Then the answer is, it is the ultimate Dharma, the meaning. That is the actual Dharma. But in order to experience that ultimate Dharma, we have to study and rely upon, practice the symbolic Dharma, which is the expression, as we find in Buddha's sutras and commentary treatises or the shastras. So what we really read in the sutras and shastras constitute the expressions of that ultimate dharma. It's the symbolic expression, but through this symbolism, through understanding and cultivating dharma based upon the symbolism, that we are able to experience ultimate dharma.
And
again, if you ask, you know, what is ultimate dharma? You know, that seems so kind of vague. But what is it? You know, actually, well, it consists of two things here. One is what we call the spiritual path, lam. It's the mark, it's the path, spiritual path. And the other is what we call the state of cessation of suffering, Gokden. And so these two, again, are the ultimate dharma, the state of cessation of suffering, or nirvana in some sense, and the true path, spiritual path. So these are the ultimate examples of ultimate dharma.
Denpa yi hi du san, denpa yi nani, ane, te ngolam nipotis, ngoden tang lamdens, ta ti nipotin chagyaris.
In other words, from the Four Noble Truths, or Arya Satyas, the truth of cessation of suffering, the truth of the path leading to that cessation, these two truths constitute real dharma, ultimate dharma. So now we really need to understand what do we mean by state of cessation or Gokden in Tibetan, or the truth of the cessation. Well, in order to understand this, the other term we might use is Tarva, Nirvana, or simply called liberation. Well, Nirvana or liberation consists of different kinds. There is what we call the liberation from samsara or cyclic existence. That's usually what people call Nirvana or Nibbana. But then there is a liberation in the sense that one is liberated from the two types of mental obscuration. And that liberation is very different from the liberation, just liberation from samsara. So that state of liberation, such states of liberation, I should say, constitute a state of cessation. The nirvana, or the kind of liberation that Shakyamuni Buddha has actualized in his mind, which is complete freedom from the two types of mental obscuration. So that is what we call complete enlightenment, another term we use, or that is the great nirvana, and that is the ultimate state of cessation.
All right. Ta nirang ge jule ye pe sta go den te le nyun de pang bin go den sing res nyun de zam pang bin go den.
Whereas the nirvana or nibbana or liberation internalized or accomplished by the arahats of Shravaka and Pratika Buddha, or the arahats of lesser vehicle of Buddhism, that is also a state of true cessation, but that nirvana is just a state of freedom from samsara or cyclic existence.
Alright, 10 days.
Yes. So when we talk about cessation or the state of cessation, Gokten, technically it is a state or a factor of abandonment of negativities and mental obscurations. So in other words, that there are lots of defilements and negativities that we need to get rid of, we need to abandon. So when we abandon them, what happens is that we accomplished factors of abandonment, or we accomplished certain states of mind which are completely free of those negativities and defilements. And such states of mind are called states of cessation. And now going back to the different types of cessation of the nirvana that I just explained to you. In the case of the nirvana of a lesser vehicle, Buddhism, that nirvana is a state of mind which has completely abandoned for good all kinds of delusions in the mind. Now the delusions have been abandoned in such a way that they will never return. They cannot come back or arise anymore. So having abandoned delusions for good, we experience a state of abandonment of those delusions. We accomplish a state of mind that is free of, completely free forever and ever of delusions. And that is what we call a state of cessation. Now in the case of enlightened being, Buddha has accomplished a state of mind that is not only free of all the delusions for good, but that's also free of the mental obscuration to omniscience. So Buddha's state of mind is completely free of the two types of mental obscurations, and they have abandoned, Buddha's mind has abandoned the two mental obscurations in such a way that they will never come back and arise again. So that in that sense, Buddha's state of mind is higher level, and it is also a state of true cessation.
That top-topa shenki itala, ane lamden sikaris. De top-je ka anna chenpa itala, lamden sikaris.
So I just simply describe what do we mean by state of cessation. Then in order to realize this state of cessation, which are basically the states of mind, we need to cultivate spiritual paths connected to those states of cessation and leading us to those states of cessation. So such paths are called the Lamden, true paths.
Hola, that then dig any top jee, that Lamden Karajan, Lamdigi, Nyomupi, Pangzi, Pangzi Nyambusheni, Nyambushin, that Lamdig, Pangzi Nyambushi, any, then they did Pangzi Nyambusheni, any, Godin Toyaris, just on Godin to Pangzi Nyambushin Yamaris. The Godin. Dengis nam do thobje cha lam lam ti ani chamba ti ani nyam we nyam bosin ti thobje ne godin thogyo res.
So when we talk about the true path leading to nirvana, let's say nirvana from samsara, true path is the way or the means by which we can reach a complete state of freedom from samsara, which is called nirvana. So true path is, as a matter of fact, actual antidotes to counteract all our deluded states of mind. And through such a true path that we're able to get rid of the delusions for good, and the outcome that we achieve is nirvana, freedom from samsara, which is called state of cessation. So the state of cessation is not an antidote to our delusions. It is the outcome or the result. Whereas the true path is the antidote, leading to antidotes to counteract delusions and leading us to nirvana.
That then dig any dingy pombe go de tojicha lamtela any tiba chimbi solam zolam tonam golam rolam sinata any shanjisim sakyu lusiores.
Now, in the case of complete enlightenment, which is also, a state of cessation, true, and it is the highest level state of cessation, if you will. Now, we talk about a true path that leads us to that complete, state of cessation, enlightenment. And this is where we talk about the five paths of Bodhisattva's way of life or Mahayana. And so when we talk about five paths of Mahayana, such as the path of accumulation of Mahayana, and then the path of preparation, the path of seeing, and the path of meditation, and the path of more learning. These are the true paths which we cultivate in our mind, which counteract our two types of mental obscuration, delusions and the obscuration to omniscience. And so as a result, what we accomplish eventually is the complete enlightened state, complete freedom from the two types of mental obscuration.
Hola, ta ta na yi ge nyen zhe bang bi guo dian tuo bei xie ba la dai, ani ni tui zhe lam ga da rang zhe xie lam ga du shi duo shi.
Going back to Nirvana of Shravakas and Patika Buddhas, or the hearers and solitary realizers, we need to cultivate the respective five paths leading to the Nirvana of Shravakas and the Nirvana of Patika Buddhas. And so each, the five paths have the same names, labels. So in other words, we have to cultivate the five paths of Shravakas from the path of accumulation to the path of normal learning in order to reach the Nirvana of Shravakas. And the same thing goes for the Nirvana of Pratika Buddhas or solitary realizers. So in a nutshell, what I'm saying here is that we should think of the jewel of Dharma as the actual treatment to our sicknesses of delusions and obscuration to
omniscience.
Relatedly, we all need to make the best of our efforts to cultivate the jewel of Dharma within our mind. Jewel of Dharma is something that we cannot rent from other people. We cannot have a lease on the jewel of Dharma. Like, okay, I give you a lease for this year for the jewel of Dharma, or you can rent my jewel of Dharma. We just can't. We can't assign the jewel of Dharma to other people. Like, can you do this for me? So that I'll sort of pay you, kind of thing. No, the jewel of Dharma is something that each of us must cultivate through our own efforts in our own mind. See, it is that personal and intimate to ourselves. It's not something we can rent out or we can put on a
lease.
And relatedly, again, the qualities, preeminent qualities of Sangha are also inconceivable to our mind. So again, when we look at the jewel of Sangha, spiritual community, we can think of it in two different ways. There is what we call transcendental Sangha or Arya Sangha, and then there is the ordinary Sangha.
So see, you know that then don't be gendu see at any palam toba in chidris palam palam thogu es.
So transcendental sangha or arya sangha, you know, is also we can refer to as the ultimate sangha. And the members of ultimate sangha are those who have internalized or actualized, at least the path of seeing and above.
That daily jebita when ngaranzo that tapadan ani yore tenzute ani sosisho that cholam to jalno pagine sosisho chagu yore sunsa tenzu ani ata ngaranzo sosisho gindus.
Then there is the ordinary sangha, which is constituted by monastics, monks and nuns. And as well as those who are on the path of accumulation and path of preparation, they are still ordinary too. But when it comes to honoring or respecting sangha, I think it's important for us to learn to respect, even the ordinary sanghas as if they were real. Real in the sense they were, members of, ultimate sangha.
No, no. That today, guys, some new kujus sumbuti garansu ta namasanje ba ta shayu chagyores.
So the three jewels that I have briefly talked about today are the what we call the objects of refuge. For those of us become Buddhist.
Wala ta shayu til ani shab kar shugres she kyung kin ngaran sure dior was ta shab kar shugres ta te ha ko shab shuji ha ko go res.
So they constitute our refuge, and what are we asking them, what is the refuge that we are seeking in them?
Ta ngaran so te kar is na shir khwa tang so dung he ani dele cha ne ta dele ha ba shig na ani dung is ni valir ani dwaya ta shap chu gres shap chu gres.
So our we seek refuge in Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha in order to be free from, in a generic sense, free from the suffering of samsara or cyclic existence in general, as well as the suffering of three unfortunate states of rebirth in particular. So the simple, in simple language means we are seeking freedom from the suffering of samsara, and we seek refuge in Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha. And more than that, that we also seek freedom from the two types of mental obscuration, and therefore we seek refuge in Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha.
Ani shani kunchu sumta ani lindi la shani kunchu sumla yichibi teba tang lindi la yichibi teba ni bote ngeba to cha chambu hibi chagwer to ngeba to gugwer sa.
It is important to, for us to remember that we need to cultivate faith in the three jewels, Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, or trust in the three jewels, and we need to cultivate trust in the infallible working of law of karma and results.
That indeed, you see, Chandra the Lindy, you see, but then one man, one that told you many zoris.
If we don't have, faith, or that much faith in the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, and that much faith in the law of cause and effect or karma, then even if we go and receive or take tantric empowerments, abhishek, initiations, we can't be very sure whether we receive initiations or not.
Samsang ngaranzu samaloke ki tende ki lame shin le kuya ta wang kuya de zine shun na pe tenzu ani pe ki tenzu ke kuya ke sakin le tende ba karu gogu yame tenzu ha ma gobe to ane tenzu pe zang samsang ma tang pe she lusin ngaranzu shungu yoro yungu yoro tenzu
So the reason why I'm saying this is, you know, sometimes, you know, we don't seem to think carefully what we must do or need to do in order to qualify for or receive tantric empowerments, for example. We just seem to kind of rush to any initiation being given by a lama without considering what are the things that we must prepare or we need to do to receive initiation. So it's really important to know the preparations required to receive an initiation. In a nutshell, in order to receive a tantric empowerment or initiation, abhishek, you know, we need to train our mind in the common path. And if we have not trained our mind in the development of the common path and practices, then we can't be really sure whether we are going to receive an initiation or not.
Yeah.
So if you ask what are the common paths that we are talking about here, specifically we are talking about cultivating bodhicitta or the altruistic mind of enlightenment and the wisdom gone beyond or the wisdom realizing emptiness as it is. And of course, the best thing would be if we have truly cultivated bodhicitta and the wisdom realizing emptiness, then we certainly qualify to receive an empowerment, or at least we need to train our mind in the development of these two
paths.
So if we don't have actual faith in the three jewels or in the law of cause and effect, then we really even can't be sure in the first place whether we are Buddhist or not. So the first step, as I said, is to go for refuge in the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. And then relatedly, we need to cultivate faith or trust in the law of karma and result. So grounded in the practice of refuge, we go for refuge in the three jewels. Then the next thing is we need to cultivate aversion to the misery in samsara, which is called renunciation. So when we truly cultivate trust in the three jewels, and we renounce worldly concerns and activities, then we started to see that we are genuinely aspiring for freedom or nirvana from samsara, and that is our goal. Then we see the need to cultivate and practice the three higher trainings as our paths. The three higher trainings are training in higher ethics, Shila, training in higher concentration, Samadhi, and training in higher wisdom, Jnan. So it is at this point that we find practitioners taking different directions here, like those who are spiritually inclined towards nirvana of Shravakas and Patika Buddhas. Then they cultivate the renunciation, and then they take the paths leading to those different states of nirvana. Or others who are spiritually inclined towards complete enlightenment, who have more of an inclination of a bodhisattvas, then they take the paths leading to complete enlightenment.
No. That 네. 전에 건조선다 린데 린데라 이제 대버 대버 템보지 컨디션 유미드 카라 당 소소 나선 전에 하고 네 가상의 나랑 섬 땅빙스
yes. And so I have, you know, given some thoughts to, you know, the things I just talked about, developing trust in the three jewels and developing trust in the infallible working of law of karma and results.
Ngarasa nadisani, nadisani nguni segina, ta, di, doctor le ta, ichi tsangma segiharos.
So I want to, you know, use an example to talk about this. Say, when we are, you know, sick, we are not feeling well, we are really unwell, then what we really do, which seems to be a rational thing, is we develop trust in a qualified doctor, or, yes, a qualified MD.
Sanu matang besi, tapi saya aku mendoa. Tang ngaran sungai, ngaran kasih sang tang besis. Jadi ngaran sungai ni tu ni, saya ni kunci sumla ni. Saya tu nak betah besi, saya tak ichi tebet tempo je ngebet dah. Tuli saya kor, tapi ini saya sesang ngebet dah.
So I mean, I was recently thinking about as I was visiting doctors that I was thinking about this that when we are not feeling well, of course we go to see doctors. Then we trust the doctors because of you know their qualifications, and then we trust their medicine. Whatever treatment they give, we take it. And then you know if we need assistance or the nurses help, we do that. So we seem to have more sort of automatic trust in the doctor, medicine, and the nurses. But if we really think about our spiritual matters, do we have that much trust in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha? So if we find ourselves in a situation where that, you know, we can trust the doctor, medicine, and the nurses to cure our ordinary sicknesses, but we really don't have that much trust in the Buddha or, you know, the Dharma or the Sangha, then that's really not a pretty picture. You know, that's really not good. You know, I think we are lacking, you know, in a very substantive way, you know.
Sanjay Chamdindig. Naranzo nyo mbi neik narda na gimba rawas. Zina sanje kyomdinde tel me da ani ten da ten gimba re che sanje kyomdinde ta yan ta bi dok ta dok te chag yo rawas. Kong ani ten bi ani me da ta za chen bu chu de na ng yo rawas. Chu ko chu de. Che za de de la ng jo ke ta pe onna doctor re ta yi chin na gi se yo ma rawas. Ka song ba ni ng mndo was.
The fact of the matter is that, you know, we are all suffering from the sickness of deluded states of mind. We have, you know, all kinds of delusions within us. So we have that real sickness of delusions. And Buddha is the perfect doctor we could find to diagnose this and to prescribe the perfect medicine for this kind of sickness, which is the Dharma. And now, and when we really think in our own mind, individually and personally, you know, how much trust do I have in Buddha and in the Dharma in order to cure this sickness, then we can find the answer to ourselves. You know, if you don't really trust that much, that is a very sad situation. So because I think oftentimes we don't find ourselves listening to Buddha's, you know, prescriptions. You know, Buddha said, don't do this, you know, do this. We don't seem to do. We just don't seem to pay attention to Buddha's, you know, words. So basically that means we are not taking the medication Buddha is giving us, and so we are really not listening to him.
So, on a doctor, the Naranjota, Sanjay Chomdi, so you choose the Kabashi check to us.
So now we compare ourselves, like when we are sick, we go to see an ordinary doctor, and we are, sick in the sense of, in terms of delusions, so we have to rely on a Buddha as a doctor. Now, which of the two doctors do we trust more?
Really? Ta na yige, Lende le yi che che teba tenpo che yue na Su su le nye kari shungpa ki na ya te Tele ane karse gurda ani longo ta ji jeba chan yo maris.
And if we have trust and faith in the law of karma and result, then I think, you know, whatever situations we encounter, good or bad, you know, we understand, you know, why things are happening the way it's happening, and I don't think we will have, you know, much of a regret or even a guilty feeling.
Rang mende beri shung bate tang do lang ne ane ti eta ngema rang leng ngema sta bi nami de taya ke ane sa no tong ya ta ta na ye ta tong leng mi kwa shen ta mong bi shejin do was sheji yor ta ne nang ge so ge ta ngara so ta sheji yor ma was ne she na sheji mon do was.
So if we have developed trust in the law of karma and result, let's say when we encounter problems and suffering in our life, we are going to accept them, more accepting of the problem of suffering as a result of our own previous negativities. And then we find ourselves thinking positively that by our experience of these negative, these sufferings, that we are able to purify ourselves of negative karma. Or that, you know, we may be able to incorporate even more advanced way of thinking or practice, that we can do Tonglen practice, the practice of, you know, taking other suffering and its causes upon ourselves and giving happiness and its causes to others. So we are able to really do advanced thinking and more accepting of the problem of suffering as an outcome of our previous negativities, and we are able to do good purification. But usually we don't seem to be doing that. That means we are not listening again to what the Buddha, you know, is telling us.
Monas. Tak tere ti tarang ai ngaran so ti ki social attention to ya ta ani ki sabat so le ani pen to na samning a shubis de.
And so I thought, you know, these are some of the ideas and, you know, matters which are of importance to all of us here. And I have shared this with my motivation that this may be a good reminder for those of us who already know about these things and maybe a new information to new people.
That can see something in my shoes.
Now we will return back to our text.
Minus. That can see any. Kunjub Shangju Jishen, the Tendan Shangju Shen Shong Yatani, Ani, Tasaki, Tsavi Saki Sunda, Ani Junsi Shini, Junsi Gushin, those that and Kashi Charabas.
So we already talked about cultivating the conventional mind of enlightenment or conventional bodhicitta and ultimate bodhicitta based upon the practice that consists of three key points, and each of which is supported by three supporting points. So we dealt with three key points and nine supporting points, which constitute the practice to cultivate the two types of mind of enlightenment within ourselves.
Tilni nyams lang pes. Ta tendi tenda gobo de pe katsa main pe. Katsa tsitsa main pe. Tenda ta gom ni nyams lang ni dusi ni. Ta nyong tembe shung be ina sung ga.
So the text says, just like that, if we truly put into practice those, points which constitute the three main points and the nine supporting points, that means, you know, we are not just kind of giving a lip service to these things. We are truly cultivating these points in our mind. Then,
comes.
So if we truly practice those points laid out earlier, then what we find is that the 2 months of enlightenment, the conventional bodhicitta and the ultimate bodhicitta, you know, they arise, you know, spontaneously within our mind. So now you may ask, you know, okay, so if the 2 months of enlightenment arise in our mind, so what? So what's the point now? So if the 2 months of enlightenment arise within ourselves, so what? Now what's the big deal? Point, if you ask. You know, the text goes on to explain that when the ultimate bodhicitta has arisen in our mind, from then onward, what we really experience is that all phenomena, outer phenomena or external phenomena, such as forms and sounds, inner phenomena or internal phenomena, such as the you know, states of mind or sensory sense faculties, all these phenomena will be understood as being empty of inherent existence. And we see how these things have never been produced inherently, and that these things are free of truly existent elaborations or fabrications, you see. So that's the kind of understanding and experience we gain when the ultimate bodhicitta arises in our mind. I think it's important for us to understand what do we mean by external phenomena and internal phenomena. As I just mentioned, that when we talk about external phenomena or outer phenomena, we are talking about the five sensual objects, forms, sounds, smell, taste, and touch. So these are external to us, and but we, otherwise we might think that, oh, by if somehow we think that, oh, we are talking about the things inside the house and outside the house, so the things outside the house are external and things inside the house are internal. No, we're not talking that. We're talking about you know, sensual objects which are external to us. And now, what are the internal phenomena? The internal phenomena, you know, include the five sensory consciousnesses, such as visual consciousness and mental consciousness. And then there is also what we call a phenomenon which we consider as that which is both external and internal. And so that, you know, that's the interesting thing again, that when we talk about different types of emptiness, we talk about you know, the emptiness of internal phenomena, the emptiness of the external phenomena, the emptiness of that which is both internal and external, and so on.
ta wang xi nga nesa ge ten wang bo nga yo ro wang bo nga bu tele ne shina ni ga che s ta sin ya yo res.
So what are the phenomena which are considered as both external and internal, if you wonder? Here we talk about the five, what we call the faculties or the sense basis, sensory basis. With the sensory basis, or the faculties, are considered as both external and internal. So the point is that once we experience the ultimate bodhicitta, when ultimate bodhicitta arises in our mind, from then onward, we see or understand that all phenomena, whether external or internal or both, they are empty of inherent existence. They are not produced and they have never been produced inherently. And they are free of the fabrication, fabrication of true existence or inherent existence. And we really see the phenomena in their natural state. So when that happens, when we reach that stage, then what happens is that we really find the peace and happiness of the mind. Our mind really, remains in a state of peace and happiness and comfort. So if I were to use an example to illustrate my point that, so long as we have not realized or we don't realize an emptiness, then we are bombarded by so many, data. It's just like being at a discotheque, where everything's so noisy and everything is just like a big bang bang, all these things happening around us. We are being disturbed and bombarded by all this noise and everything. But once we really understand emptiness, then, we find, calm state of mind. It is like, we see water bubbling and boiling and we put a little bit of a cold water on that whole water, the bubbling water, it just subsides, it just, falls flat. It's just like that. Now if we, experience conventional bodhicitta, then So when the conventional bodhicitta arises in our mind, then from then onward, what we see is that, we especially experience this love and compassion to and for sentient beings who have not realized emptiness. Now, as we talked about a little earlier, that once we don't realize emptiness, what's happening is that all kinds of phenomena are bombarding us and we are overwhelmed by the noise and distractions and, no peace and no happiness. But so as we see this kind of a situation, now we have, let's say, we have developed ultimate bodhicitta and we have developed conventional bodhicitta, then you see we develop this tremendous sense of love and compassion towards sentient beings who have not yet realized emptiness, and they are caught up in all kinds of distractions and noise and bombardments.
No, no, it's not what she says. The she raised gun, that guy, you can say, Carson, and it is red, and they can in Shamba and Hingir, Shamba and Rangi Sheva in us. Tak siapa ina, ane kari umur sana sejuk se, rang leka saya ada ane senji je tuan ni, me baca ingjung se, tak rang ane luta ngata iye, ane iye seno tanya tu, iye seno tanya tu, ane ngaku maju tu, luta ane siapa kandi kini naya, ane senji je tuan, ah tuan mandu iye tak me baca tu, tuan senji tuan enjoy kini, ngapa tu umur sekarang tu.
So when the conventional bodhicitta arises in us, you see, we have this tremendous sense of love and compassion towards beings who have not yet realized emptiness. And what we really find is we are always caring for sentient beings. And, working for a sentient being is the only thing that we are concerned with. You see, nothing else is important and nothing else really is relevant and matters here. So when we are under the influence of love and compassion, is all our actions of body, speech, and mind are geared towards the betterment of sentient beings. If we do something physically, we want it to be something beneficial to others. If we say something, through our mouth, then that speech wants to be beneficial to others. If we think about something, we are thinking about positive things to benefit others. So that's how our actions of body, speech, and mind are all geared towards, benefiting sentient beings.
Oh, nice. That that's a nice, that. Tetsa nasa tende shomba yina shomba ta, tetsa nasa da nyingba rinduwa, tetsa nasa tende shomba yina sa. Ani kizhi rang lunga ki shawa kizhi sa ta, kizhi sa lunga ki shawa kizhi, singi ji tuyendu jiwa ki yungba yin sa ta.
So, we can see the picture here that, once all this is happening, then that means in everything we do is, for the benefit of other sentient beings.
Oh, nasa. Ta tingi shomdu dhelte, tongbe, tu ni nas, ane tenye songde dede, ane tongbe tu ni nas, ta tongba ni tobe tu, tenye songde chiko ane ta tongba ni tobe ni nas, tenye se akare se na kunzo shangju sa, donda shangju sa nyo badari la, tenye bote songde dede, tongbe tu ni na, ten mangabe senki le hingi habu de shegare se, mangabe se da rangi je mangabe, doma ni hyo, sa tende mangabe se, da gase mangabe se amare, rangi je ane, Mangapa, rangit je masih, barangit je mangapa. Tapi ini senjilan ini habis segeris.
So when we combined those two, meaning ultimate bodhicitta and conventional bodhicitta, when we combine them or integrate them together, then what we experience is while we see emptiness. At that time, we will also experience great compassion, for sentient beings who have not yet ceased, who have not, inherently ceased to exist.
Well, you might raise that. That thing in it, thing is soon in the day, don't be doing it, but that thing is that ninja doing it, I say. Ninja should be doing it. Datang, rantang, senjian je, ngopo mantong tes, ta. Dari ninge saya, ta tonye ninge nyumbo je saya, ta tinggi sungjek terbang. Sungjek ane dari cikgu siapa ye na, ane datang senjian je ngopo mantong saya, rangi coba ta, rangi coba jang tong maris.
And while we experience compassion, at that time, we do not see both self and other sentient beings to have any inherently existent nature.
Ta karis na ten nangju karis na nawate kani ki yungur sana jumatavis jumatavi ngotoates jumatavis ita ita tavis yata kaiche mo chagiris juman jumato juman nangin sata jumatavi ngot tombar totes ta jumatavi ngot tombar totes. Pena alit jumatavi ane ngote ane tombat rangi je maju baca tangga rangi je maju baca tujuh juta 도그레스 가능.
So we see all phenomena appear to us like a magical creation or an illusion that you know we you know we do not see any how to say real substance inherent substance to phenomena.
나라 절에 주마케 주마 주메 네 탈랑따다 랑부체 뚜디자니 코따다 랑부게 통고여 데다 탈랑네 임바든 거 생근을 차금 말어 봐 제자 라이 탈랑네 이제 똥바기 다 디 하고 걸어 봐 제자 되는 게 나와 주마 답이 똥바지 뭐 또디 다 디니 손데 손 손데도 셰자 나세 그바체 랑지 신기 말어 봐 주바인세
나와 And so when we, let's say, you know, when we are at a magic show, when a magician creates, say, horses and elephants, you know, we may see horses and elephants, or what appears to our, you know, senses are horses and elephants, but we are not attached to them as being real horses and elephants. We know there's no real substance. These are not real horses and elephants, and we are not attached to them, grasping at them as real horses and elephants. So just like that, phenomena may appear to us as being truly or inherently existent, but we know they don't exist in that mode or manner, and we are not going to grasp at them as being truly existent or inherently existent. So as we integrate or combine those 2 months of enlightenment, ultimate bodhicitta and conventional bodhicitta, then we have truly cultivated you know, the path of Mahayana Buddhism, or we have really entered into, you know, into a path of Mahayana Buddhism.
That key to take on this one, though. Juma King, then is, Dhyuta Hingu Talan to be said, Juma King Koran, now you and Himba Yamarwa, the Talan.
In other you know, literatures on emptiness, we find more sort of explanation about this example of magical creation and how that may relate to understanding of emptiness. And so there's a mention of, let's say, if there is a magic show, now the magician might create horses and elephants through his magic power. So in this case, you know, horses and elephants do appear to the senses of the magician, but the magician knows that these are not real horses and elephants because he created them. So in this case, the magician has the appearances of horses and elephants, but he does not grasp at them as being true horses and elephants. So that's one level example. Now, everybody at his magic show who is under the influence of his magic, that's important, under the influence of his magic. Now, the spectators at the magic show, they see horses and elephants, and they are attached to them as being horses and elephants. Not only horses and elephants appear to them as real, but they somehow, under the influence of the magic thing, these are real horses and elephants. That is another level of example here. Now, there are people who are not at the magic show, who are not influenced by his magic power. So for these people, there are neither the appearances of horses and elephants, nor grasping at horses and elephants. So they're completely free of both appearance and clinging.
Oh, nice. That indeed, Denzi pangbe, pang simbe tunzele ane nawa yone kembat mebris.
So those who have abandoned grasping at true existence, you know, these people, you know, things may appear to them as truly existent, but they are not going to grasp at phenomena as truly existent. They're just like the magician. They have appearance of true existence, but they are not going to grasp at them as truly existent.
Now those
of us who have not yet realized emptiness, ordinary people like us, so we are just like the spectators at the magic show and influenced by the magic power, that we, you know, see things as being truly existent. Things appear to us as being truly existent, and we grasp at them as being truly existent. So we have both appearance of true existence and grasping at true existence, just like the people at the magic show. And then the enlightened beings or the Buddhas are just like the people who are not influenced by the magic show and who are not at the magic show at all. So who are free of both appearances and clinging. So just like that, Buddhas are completely free of both appearance of true existence and grasping at true
existence.
So once we, experience ultimate bodhicitta and conventional bodhicitta, and we combine them, and we cultivate them further, you know, we enhance them more and more, then what happens is eventually, as we have completely familiarized ourselves with the minds of enlightenment, and we have enhanced them to the greatest extent possible, then we accomplished, truth body, or dharmakaya, and form body or the rupakaya.
That the condition any tender sanju is same tomba ni le any chugu de the tomba ni tobe that the lam komba tar shin so any chugu de jugu yeris sanju ku chugu jugu yeris.
So how is that, if you ask? So it's because when we cultivate ultimate bodhicitta and we enhance it to the greatest extent possible, this ultimate bodhicitta enables us to accomplish truth body of of a Buddha or the Dharmakaya.
Kunzo Sangyu is same any day any same any Kunzo Sangyu is a Niji Kimberly Zukun Rukuris.
On the other hand, when we cultivate conventional bodhicitta and enhance it to the greatest extent possible, then eventually we accomplish a form body of a Buddha or the Rupakaya.
Hola. That thing you yeme do jangpa les, chego ta zuku yeme do topa yinsenda.
So as a result of combining or integrating ultimate bodhicitta and conventional bodhicitta, we don't separate them from each other. We bring them all together. As a result of that, we accomplish the unity of truth body and form body. So those of us, who are seeking complete enlightenment, now we see that when we say that we are seeking enlightenment, what that involves is accomplishing truth body and form body. And in order to accomplish form body, we need to cultivate conventional bodhicitta, and for that we need to cultivate great love and great compassion. So under the influence of these positive attitudes, when we accumulate merit, so that leads us to form body.
Same
by way of cultivating ultimate bodhicitta and accumulating wisdom or insight, so eventually that leads us to find a truth body.
And so
how is that all? You know, we have seen a lot of explanations, evidence provided in this text and in other texts, such as Arya Nagarjuna's precious garland or Ratna Avali, and Geshe-la quoted a stanza from his memory, which basically says that through the fulfillment of the two types of accumulation of merit and accumulation of wisdom inside, may sentient beings accomplish two ultimate bodies, meaning truth body and form body.
And so
I have taken I think 10 more minutes today because I wanted to finish that particular section. I have just a prayer request for Pamela Edwards who passed away.
Olas. Ta ko ani ta ngue chem gre kurang ming ngue sume ba ta ko Pamela serve.
No.
Ani ko ra je ani ta ten de ani chinde mang bu ji ta chelin de ke mang bu ji shung yu ar song za ten so ani den du ten za to ya ta mang ja khus.
Well, we have received just one name here, Pamela Edwards, but of course there are many, you know, whose names are not here and we know who have passed away. We should think all about them and send our prayers for them. We have come together here today and accumulated merit through participating in the teaching, and by the power of our merit may Dharma, the source of benefits and happiness, flourishes throughout the universe. May His Holiness the Dalai Lama and all other holy masters live long and be successful in fulfilling their visions, benefiting sentient beings. May spiritual communities throughout the world and spiritual practitioners from all traditions remain healthy, harmonious, and be successful in fulfilling their spiritual aspirations. May this and other world environments be free of all kinds of unwanted pains and problems, and may beings find peace, happiness, prosperity, and spirituality. In short, we dedicate our collective merit for all kind mother sentient beings to be free from the fears and dangers of two types of mental obscuration, and may we all reach complete enlightened state quickly.
Lord,
Shanchu-sen-chu-ren-bo-che-ma-che-pa-na-she-chu-ra-che-che-wa-nyam-pa-me-pa-ta-kun-e-kun-do-pe-wa-ra-che-che-wa-nyam-pa-me-pa-ta-kun-e-kun-do-pe-wa-ra-che-che-wa-nyam-pa-me-pa-ta-kun-e-kun-do-pe-wa-ra-che-che-wa-nyam-pa-me-pa-ta-kun-e-kun-do-pe-wa-ra-che-che-wa-nyam-pa-me-pa-ta-kun-e-kun-do-pe-wa-ra-che-che-wa-nyam-pa-me-pa-ta-kun-e-kun-do-pe-wa-ra-che-che-wa-nyam-pa-me-pa-ta-kun-e-kun-do-pe-wa-ra-che-che-wa-nyam-pa-me-pa-ta-kun-e-kun-do-pe-wa-ra-che-che-wa-nyam-p
bodo tengu rongi
sa ye be ye ju je me to ta ma re ra ni
ye ye de ye lo de sa ye ye do me de me wa ye do ko ye na da ye ma shu ba ko e ta ma gu ru ra
na ma
de lo ko ni ya da ya me 된지라
그러게
다 드린데 추워서 제소스 그럴 참말로 아니 런치 그러세 주식하고 쉐크 다 드린 야 강야 요무고스 뭐는
안 돼 I think I took you know 10 of minutes more today and so I think you must be hungry so you should all go and enjoy your lunch and you don't need to come shop to see me